conclusion of D&D with Infinity and Beyond Curse of Strahd, the episode we are calling From Dusk Till Dawn. If you like what you see in here, please follow the channel and support the Patreon, and please spread the word, the more the merrier, as you watch this awesome group continue their final preparations for whatever awaits them. Now, we're going to zoom in a little bit here, and Django and Mason, in the meantime, having watched Agatha and Alec fly away at great speed, Agatha at somewhat faster speed, but still both of them, you then are, for the moment, left alone with the rest of your troops, who are all kind of looking at each other nervously. What do you want to do?
So, I go over to Django, and if he hasn't already figured it out, I say, you may have noticed, our friend has fallen. He does not seem to be coming back anytime soon.
Come on, Kallax, right?
Kallax, yes.
Kallax, okay.
Another person to mourn, and we will, when we are victorious. But before we go any further, there is something I must ask you. I must ask you what took place inside of Castle... Is it Ravenhold?
Ravenloft.
Ravenloft. I always... Damn it. Damn you, Half-Life 2.
Ravenholt is the one in California. That's the common mistake.
No, that's the torture area in Half-Life 2. Never mind.
Yes, yes.
No, that's Ravenholm. That's what it is. Okay. Half-Life 2 reference. Anyway. That's okay, Dot. I just did that too before while you were doing your thing. So that's fine. Enjoy your food. I did. I need to ask you what took place inside of Castle Ravenhold. Ravenloft. Damn it.
Do you want me to actually narrate this or just give you, I tell you what happened
specifically,
up to the point I left?
Specifically, did you encounter Strahd?
Did I? Actually, yes. He says briefly. But my primary goal was to get the skull out. So I was mostly involved in doing that. But yes, we did sight him.
And were you able to deal with him appropriately?
Well, since I had a 200-pound skull, I was hoping I'll carry up the stairs. Not really.
Damn it, Django, you know what I mean. Were you able to strike at him or no?
Oh, that. Yes. Well, not there. When he was chasing us through the sky, when Agatha was in hippogriff form with the skull and I was riding her, and he came after us, I was able to attack him and actually strike him with the silver sword. I actually did wounded him. I'm sure it's his heels by now, but that part, yes, I was able to injure him. Whether that just took him and others by surprise, I do not know. But
so there's no guarantee
effective.
That Babala Saga hasn't come to pay her, to may have you pay her your debt yet.
Correct.
I still do not understand precisely what it is you need from me in order to be able to strike him. If she comes to collect, what can I possibly say to break that seal between you and her?
Hopefully she will not. She will be distracted elsewhere. All I need him to say is to strike me down. For I am to obey orders from him as if they are orders from her. Therefore, if he says, kill me, it is as if she is saying, kill him, and I can therefore strike without mercy. Do you understand now?
That will not be an easy task.
That is why I was hoping Esmeralda would be here, for she seems to have a certain fixation on her. She was able to goad him, well, unlike a few others, perhaps, other than Weller.
I can certainly goad him. He's a man like any other, ego and all. It's just the right type of goading in the proper place with the proper amount of pressure.
Correct.
The truth is, why would he actively allow you to do anything unless he was convinced you couldn't do it at all? There's a logical error in all of this. You say strike him, and that is a command, unless he believes that you are already not a threat, and he would never say such thing anyway.
You just answered your own question, Mason. He does believe none of us are a threat. Perhaps you with that weapon? Maybe. But his ego, rampaging and unchecked as it is, allows him to believe he is supreme in this land. And therefore, the taunt of strike me if you can. Strike me down if you are willing, if you are able to. He sees as an empty boast that no one has the capacity to do it. Hopefully, we will prove him wrong.
There is just one other thing, though. He and Babala Saga share an evil throne in this land. Wouldn't he already know that you are compromised? Apologies for the word. It is, but you are, in fact, playing for both sides.
Well, you know the old adage, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Just because they share power does not mean they share it willingly. She speaks of him in fond terms, but how deep, assuming that tie is even real, how deep does that possibly go? If she was presented evidence that her own blood, her own son, was willing to overthrow her to achieve true power, how might she respond?
And what would you will of us if things do not play out appropriately, and you must turn your sword against ours?
Well, I mean, against such as that, and I nod at the sheath, the sun sword on your belt. I say, against such as that, I am not much of a threat at all, but I can distract at the wrong time. And certain abilities I can have can make it difficult for you to fell me quickly. But if that time were to come, I would expect you would put me down. Strahd can be our only goal, his destruction. Indeed, I may not even be in the same room with you. I am thinking of going with Agatha against the heart again.
And it's at that point that I stand a little bit closer to Django. Social distancing, of course. No, kidding. I sort of unsure whether he'll and you know, appreciate this or not. I kind of put my hands on both of his shoulders and I just sort of look him at him right in the eye and I go, listen, good old man, right now, no matter what happens, if Babala Saga comes to collect, you fight. You fight as damn hard as I know you can. I will do what I must. And I will do it with respect to your honor. So that if I must do it, it will be done right and it will be done well. But you make a promise to me now that should I not be able to sway Strahd, you will fight with whatever strength you have to break yourself free of Babala Saga's will, whether you believe it impossible or not. Then and only then will I do what I must.
I swear I will resist her with every fiber of my being. And if I fall during this action, which is likely, and you survive, I only ask that you seek out my family and inform them of what has happened to me. And tell them I died trying to return to them.
I'll do everything in my power to make sure you can say the words that you defeated Strahd to them yourself. For I do not wish to see any more friends die today, this day, or any other, so long as Strahd draws breath.
Nor I, but what we want and what is reality are two separate things.
Sometimes it's nice to want the impossible, but wanting it doesn't make it impossible.
Actually, I did not expect that wisdom from Xavier.
He impresses me too sometimes. We are more alike in mind these days than we used to be. Perhaps blame it on that bloody sword. Perhaps this damn horrific, frightening, beautiful place you call home. It certainly does have a charm to it. As too does it does its people.
We grow on you like lichen or moss.
Or mold.
I was trying to put a kind face on it, but that is not inaccurate. Speaking of our enemy, perhaps we should go find out what happened to Mordenkainen. Last I saw, they were engaged in a most titanic duel. And since we have no idea when Alok and Agatha are to return, and whether Weller will be hale and hearty with them, it seems
they
to be...
They know where they are right now.
Oh, well... No, I do.
Only,
they went to, they went to the village of...
Fly off.
They went to the village of Barovia, where Alok had apparently deposited Weller's body.
Oh, so we're all going to Barovia now.
Are we?
Well, isn't that where...
I mean, we could follow them, but what is the point? By the time we get there, they'll have done whatever they are doing.
All right, so then why did we stay here? I thought we were staying here to wait for them to return.
We can stay here and twiddle our thumbs, that's true. But as I said, we should probably find out what happened to Mordenkainen. Which I believe
correct,
and any points to the woods that were near where it says current mace and max hit points. It says, I believe they are, last I saw, they were fighting on the other side of this forest. If we were to move through it.
He was fighting with Strahd, wasn't he?
Correct.
Shouldn't we wait for everyone to return to full strength before we join in and perhaps find Strahd there? And also, if you don't pet that cat, she is going to kill you?
He's very insistent.
Yes.
Although, actually, what are these hexes again? How big are they?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sorry, I'm confused. We were staying here because they were going to go get the...
Right.
Possibly get Weller back.
That's
and
right.
Then Mordenkainen's fighting Strahd. But what the reason we stayed here, did we have a reason? Or is it just because we were licking our wounds?
We can't fly as fast as they can.
Yeah, you can't...
Agatha you're eating. Wait a minute.
Right, but there was... she told you when she was there that there were 15... They were gathering numbers on the other side of the castle, like in the courtyard, that he was like
15 what?
Oh, 15 the ghouls.
So they're nearby. Agatha told you that clearing the castle out would be super helpful because that would probably be next step. But there was no like literal plan. It was no plan as to why you're still here. It was just that they were coming to warn you that they may come out of the castle and attack.
How many of the troops are left, Arv?
Let me see. By current count, we have got left, I believe about, 7 of those barbarians.
Uh-huh.
Obviously Kallax is one of the, is dead. There are, about, I think the Dusk Elves are pretty much intact. There's 10 of those. The Barovians were, you know, struggled. There are about 15 of them. They lost about 10 in that fight.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, because they were. Remember, they're the ones.
Oh, those
who
are the Barovians,
the
not the Dusk Elves.
Yeah, no, not the Dusk Elves. Those are the villagers. So like, they're the ones who are kind of like, you know, the least well trained. And then, you know, if you had to estimate, there are now maybe about 20 or so ravens that occasionally are flying overhead or. You know,
how many of the Dusk Elves are left?
You.
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
The Dusk Elves, you had 10 to begin with, and it seems like they're pretty much intact.
They're pretty much intact, okay.
So your total force, assuming you count the Ravens as being, you know, part of the force, you probably have maybe 20 Ravens left and about 32 people total, Dusk Elves, Barovians, and Barbarians all together.
I turn to the remaining people who are here, and specifically I look to the Barovians and say, those of you here who have fought with me this far, thank you so much for your sacrifices. There will be more to come in this night. However,
There is a chance now that we have regrouped once our friends have returned from their particular task. No one would think ill of you if those of you wish to return to your families. I seek the aid of the Dusk Elves. And the other group is the...
The Barbarians. I mean,
the Barbarians. Yeah. I seek the aid of the Dusk Elves and the Barbarians. But those of you... Those of you who just wish to survive. Who are not fighters, but farmers. I would be asking you to lay down your lives for this land. And I must leave that choice to you. I cannot command and I cannot order. And I will not. But should you join us, and we are victorious, your children and their children's children will grow up in a world different from the one that we are currently in this night.
And then he sort of turns to the Dusk Elves and the Barbarians and says,
the rest of you have been strong. You all have been strong. And I will need you now more than ever to stand with those who still draw breath and to fight for those, as he looks at Kallax, who went before us and who went down fighting. There is still a long night ahead. But as you can see, and he points up to the light above him, there is a light at the end of this. We have shown a light of what was once endless darkness. And even though Strahd and his ilk,
and he sort of looks back over at Django,
may do everything they can to throw roadblocks in our way and tear us apart from the inside out.
And then he looks back at everybody.
We can win this. If you will join me. If you will fight now. I leave it with you. For I am a stranger in this land. But I will fight for it. With whomever will stand beside me.
He just looks out at all of them.
So there's sort of a... There's a pause, and then as they both, as all the groups kind of look at you, one of the Barovians sort of tips his cap and steps forward and says,
your pardon, sir, but we came on this trip not expecting to return. There is nothing left for us back there. Except more darkness and the waiting for death. At least here we die on our own two feet. There are some of us who do not have souls. Many in Barovia do not. And there will be no end to us. If we have no souls, there will be a final end to everything. But that, too, is better than to live under this darkness. We will stay. And we will fight. We know we will die. But we will do so gladly. If it means that the light up there could spread through Barovia a bit more. You have but to command us. And we will die where you command.
And he kind of, you know, steps back. And the others sort of all kind of grumble, you know, they kind of like, but they all, you can see their hands kind of tightening around their, you know, sides and pitchforks and you know, type of thing. And a couple of them with, you know, small rusty swords. And this looks like a group of people that have given up hope, but will fight anyway.
I look at the Dusk Elves momentarily, and I don't say anything.
The Dusk Elf, who is in front, led by, you may remember, Rhaenys, not Casimir. Casimir was not in this group. But Rhaenys kind of, you know, steps forward and puts his hand over his heart and bows his head and says, "We do not waver any more than we did when the shadows consumed our people. We are with you to the end, whatever happens." And he kind of steps back.
Sorry, I was not laughing at you. I was laughing at what Dot wrote to me. Sorry.
Oh.
Oh, now I figured out who she. I figured out who she means that for.
Yes. So there's that, and then so yes, and then the barbarians. Before you can
and
even look
at, yeah, I look at the barbarians too.
The one comes over and he says, the one walks over and he says, "Kallax, tell us, we fight."
My God, you sound exactly like him. I'm sorry.
He says, "I'm offended by what you say." And no, he doesn't say that. He says, "Kallax, tell us, we must fight against Strahd. Why, we say." He says, "If we do not, then Strahd will eat all, take over the rest of the world. There will be no hunt, and there will be no continuing. When a hunter has lost his weapons, has lost his way, only a fool fights when he could stop and think and take weapons again. If we go back now, there will be no chance again. Strahd will come, destroy the tribe, and this will be for nothing." And he kind of looks around, and then he looks over in the direction of where Kallax's body had been, and you know, back in the, you know, where they came from, and he says,
"Oh, they brought it with them."
Oh, did they? Oh, okay. They I guess that's where they did. So he looks over at Kallax's body, which is lying on the ground, a couple of barbarians above it, and he says,
"He died for the tribe. So will we. Command us. We will charge against him, whatever the cost."
And he turns around, he looks at the Barovians, and he looks at the Dusk Elves, and he kind of nods firmly. And the Dusk Elves don't say anything. The Barovians kind of like, the guy who spoke kind of is like sort of tips his cap again, like not sure if that's the protocol or whatever, but, and then the barbarian turns back to face you and falls silent.
I sort of take two steps back and pull the sun sword hilt out. And I think with it, with Xavier, to light it. Does it light?
That would be embarrassing if it didn't. Fortunately for you, it does. Not only does it light, but there is a moment where it almost feels as if the light, this is obviously just a trick, an illusion, but it almost feels as if the light joins with that overhead. It does need to be noted, by the way, remember that it is technically nighttime. It's actually close to, you know, midnight, I believe. And yet this light continues to brighten the dark sky. So it's not like midday sun. I don't want to overrate this, but the fact that there's any light at all is pretty shocking. And the light of the sword seems to partially, almost delightedly, Mason, reflect the light of the beam ahead, above.
They say the hunter is nothing without the hunted. But a predator cannot exist without its prey. This sword, this light, and all of you, we have our target. This night does not end, and he raises the sword up over his head, until Strahd falls. He pulls it down in front of his face.
And there is a, you don't get a, yeah, but you get a, sort of a, like they're all kind of nod. One of the barbarians goes over and claps one of the Barovians in the back, almost knocking him onto the ground. And the Barovian kind of like comes up and sort of nods and kind of does a weak little like you know, like tapping the shoulder like this, like the barbarian's kind of like.
And on that note, I have got to use the restroom. Hold okay. on.
No.
I'll be right back.
So Django, while you're doing that, Mason, Django, are you going to go look just over where you think this Mordenkainen thing was happening? Because after this, I'm going to come back to Alec and Agatha right. and the Weller
what was,
scenario.
Like I said, what were the hex sizes again? I'm sorry, I keep forgetting.
Quarter mile, I think?
Yeah, that's right. So probably you're about a quarter, maybe a half a mile from where you thought that fight was taking place, somewhere over here. Well. It's true, you could take the horse.
Yeah, I'm really one for riding, although that's true. Your horse is here, isn't it? Because you left it here, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, fuck it. Yes, I get on the spectral steed or hell horse or whatever the hell Alec's mount is.
Whatever the horse it is.
Yeah, okay. It's a horse piece. Horse of a different color, literally.
So you get onto the horse, and one thing that's sort of surprising you, Django, is that the horse accepts it, but the horse feels astonishingly and disturbingly still. Like, you remember from your time when you were alive the first time, that whenever you did ride a horse, that, you know, part of the problem is that it was always moving underneath you, you know what I mean? Like back and forth, and always like, because the damn thing wouldn't stay straight. This thing is like rock solid steady, which is a little weird. It's like sitting on a statuette almost. Having said that, you know, it will go in the direction that you pointed, apparently.
All right, well, give it a nudge at the boots and get it moving.
And so you do so, and...
And actually, I'm going to circle around the top of the woods here, come at them from this direction, if I can.
You can. Be aware that that's going to be going up a hill a little bit, so you're going to be, like, around and over on a ridge, which is okay.
Wow, that's actually even better.
Yeah,
that's okay. I prefer that. Okay. Again, good thing I'm on a horse.
When you get over to...
Anyways.
Exactly. So when you get over to this side, what you see here on the ground is two things, actually, Django. The first is that you note there is a huge scorched area of ground, as if there was a massive explosion of some kind. but the
scorched
other...
Scorched area or an actual crater?
Yeah, maybe crater is a better way to put it.
Okay.
yes, I would say so. I mean, it's not a pit, but it is definitely it's been, you know, it's been terraformed, right?
Let's say. Okay.
But also in this scorch mark, there is no sign either of Mordenkainen nor of Strahd, but in the center of this rift is a shimmering blue circle of some kind. It's maybe an oval might even be a better way to put it. It's maybe about 5.5 feet tall, maybe a couple of feet wide or so, but it's shimmering blue light right at the center of that scorched crater there.
Looking maybe kind of sort of weirdly portalish, perhaps?
Could be.
Could be. And just sitting here in the center and nothing else is...
Correct. And it's standing, right? Like the bottom of the oval is on the bottom, and it's, you know, like a big mirror, even.
Right. And if I were to go to the edge of the crater and start, like, you know, have the horse go around it, I would see that it is two-dimensional.
Correct.
By the way, Arv, since I did not choose evocation for turning ninth level, I've taken ascendant step, which I can levitate at will.
Ascendant step. Okay, sounds good. Yep. So that you will never, you'll never fall from a hippogriff again when fighting a vampire. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Because that situation is going to come up, you know, every day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't have to detect magic really because I don't have little Weller. Nudge the horse onto the actual crater. Does anything happen?
No. It just, you know, it's a little bit of a rise down. So it, you know, clops down.
Yeah, well, we'll head to this blue thing.
Okay.
I'm ready to gallop away if I must. Hopefully not.
Okay.
When I get closer, can I see any more details, or is it still just the shimmering bluish white?
You can, Django. There seems to be a few images, like maybe people or humanoid-sized shapes or something like that, that are inside the circle, that are inside that kind of magic blue shimmering. The details are not great from this horse. You'd have to probably get off and like get you know, walk up to it to see it, but there's definitely a few figures inside it.
I do not like this idea. Approach to within about 30 feet of it.
Okay, and you're off the horse, right?
Well, no, I'm bringing the horse to within 30 feet, okay. Yeah. The good news is, if I tell it to stay, it's definitely going to stay.
So yeah, that's
fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then I will dismount.
Okay.
And approach to within 10 feet of it.
When you get to within 10 feet, and you look in, Django, there probably was a time, I would say, in your past, there probably was a memory of what it was like to stand and be close to the people you cared about. And as you look in this circle, and you can now see in actually very sharp detail, what you see are three individuals on a grass field. And it looks very much like your wife and children. They are standing on a green field, and the children are dancing around your wife and occasionally hugging each other and occasionally walking up and hugging your wife. And every so often, the three of them look over in the direction of where you're staring and sort of look, and it's they look like in your direction, but it doesn't look like they can see you. Like, it doesn't look like they're looking at you. But you have this very strong sense that what you are looking at here is happening now somewhere. That you are looking at them somewhere. That this is not in some past place, but present reality somewhere.
What is the weather like on this area, in this realm, or wherever they are?
The sky overhead appears to be blue. It is a field that almost might seem familiar to you, but it's a field that is lit by sunshine.
Well, I know enough about magic, and it's a good thing is Jaws wired shut, so it's really drop open at seeing that, but that's not possible.
Yep.
And the really bad news is he can't call out to them. Although he will try, mentally. He will reach out with, I think Mind Speak has a range of 120, if I'm mistaken. 120 feet, yes. He will try Mind Speak to see if he can reach his wife.
Yeah, when you do the Mind Speak, Django, the Mind Speak stops at the barrier of the blue circle.
Yep, I was afraid of that.
They seem to be on the other side of whatever this is.
Crap, as Homer would say. All around me is just scorched dirt, earth.
Yes.
Actually,
yes.
I've got stuff. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Take out what do I have? Silver and copper? Take out a copper coin and throw it through the portal.
When you throw it through the portal, there's a flash. And then landing just sort of... It doesn't quite land right on the other side, but it sort of, you know, within a few, I don't know, 5-10 feet or something, you can see that a shining something, presumably a coin, lands in the grass.
But something came roughly the same trajectory.
Roughly, landed, but yeah, then it vanishes out of view because it's below the grass. But
sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
God damn it. This is what I am trying to find. Nope. All right. It's an item or creature. It doesn't work. This is what I've been looking for since I was placed back on this realm. But the sense that this is an absolute trap is too strong to ignore. I am not powerful enough in magic to understand what is going on here. But, all right. He stands there for a long time, and then he reaches out his hand as if he wants to reach out to them. And then lets it drop and turns away and gets on the horse and rides back to Mason, tears running down his cheeks as he goes, but by the time he comes back, they'll be dry.
Very nice. Let us jump over to Alec and Agatha and the yet free spirit of Weller. The free spirit of Weller. Let me bring you over to that.
Still want whatever it is to come back with a beard. I feel like that's only fair.
Oh, 22 to 25. I want you to roll on the 2E chart. I want him to come back as a badger or a dryad or a centaur. The 2E chart was awesome.
So tell us how you finish. Let me bring chat along with you. I'm sure you all want to see this too. There we go. So, Agatha, you are now towards the end of the hour, about to complete what is there.
And I've, like, over time, I'll be, like, in, and I'll send, I'm sending out to go, like, pick up sticks and branches and twigs and, like, things from the land, and I'll bring it back in. And she continues to, like, build this mound kind of in the circle as she does this reincarnation spell. And over time, the leaves and those twigs and the branches begin to meld into new form over the period of an hour. I imagine the old form probably has to be sacrificed, no doubt, but it doesn't say so. And then it is supposed to randomly, or choice of GM, appear in a new form. And then when the form is complete, it calls the soul into the new body.
Okay. So, you finish this, and Alec, at this point, I would say, you know, you've been praying the whole time. Alec, you've had just before I get to what happens there, Alec, you've had a strange experience, which is you feel a bizarre mix within you of hope and despair. There is this sense of that Lathander has not and will not answer your prayers. And yet, even as you think that, every so often, you are reminded of the light above you, and you are reminded of Donovich's words to you, which you may remember at the church from before, and you are filled with a sense of hope. To quote a story that I used to teach by Laurie Moore, there is never anything definitive, only a series of tests. And this is how it feels to you as you go through these sort of waves of there's no hope, but maybe there is, but, and all of this, of course, and you notice that the despair sort of corresponds with the greatest moments of pain. So when you're feeling the worst, that's when the despair comes. When you begin to, you know, lighten up, the pain lessens and you feel this hope. So, but you're certainly aware of your surroundings, and so you can see that Agatha is getting ready to complete things. Are you going to do anything, or like stand up and go anywhere, or are you going to just stay on your knees more or less where you were?
I'm because I can't go near the altar without really feeling it. I have to stay back. So I'll just stay here and just keep praying from a distance.
Okay. So
if I'm doing the right decision, because I have no idea.
I imagine
it's like a what would Weller do? And Olek has no idea if he's going to see the choice. Weller is going to like or approve or disapprove of the action.
Oh, okay. I guess it all depends on what body he's going to get.
That's right.
I imagine whenever it's done, Like, it's done, and the soul has to be called. Agatha will, like, get on all fours over the body, and, like, you'll see her almost go mouth to mouth and, like, pull the soul back into the body, and then she'll blow the candle out.
Which brings us to Weller. As you again sense sort of consciousness, this time you find yourself again in a land of mist, but you are now able to actually move in that mist, and you don't hear any sounds. But as you sort of look around, you can see that there is a bit of a light. This is not the light that Baba Luxaga was using, you know, the non-light light. This is actual light that you can see. And it seems to be hovering over or suspended over what looks like a gray stone altar of some kind. Everything else besides the altar is covered in mist and shadow. But where you are, maybe 50 feet away from your position, you can see this altar. And there is a body which lies on top of it. And you could move if you wish, like you're capable of doing so.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll approach.
When you come over to the body, Weller, you see that this body seems to be one that has been prepared, perhaps, for you. Because you have a sense that it is lifeless and spiritless. There is nothing there. And you feel this pull as if you are being invited to enter this body. But the body, Weller, is the body of your best friend whom you eviscerated. It is, however, perfectly formed and shaped and not cut or harmed in any way.
He takes a half step back and then stops and thinks about the eight tenets of faith and steps forward and looks down at the body of Tavist Donnan, his best friend. And he leans down toward the face and sort of smirks a bit up towards the light, which I presume is above this body.
That's right, yeah.
And knowing that he was about to recite the third tenet of faith, he does so.
Nurture life. It is a sacred duty to foster new growth. Nurture growing things and work for rebirth and renewal.
And he pushes toward the body.
Agatha and Alec in the church in Barovia, you suddenly see the body which you have created. It is a well-made body, Agatha, if you say so yourself. It is a human body. And as you look at it, suddenly, air comes into the lungs and the eyes flicker open.
Say welcome back, Weller.
And he is naked. Naked. Yes. His clothes are still on the altar.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I think they would fit you anyways.
This is a they true wouldn't. Fact.
They would not.
We apologize to any terms of service we have violated.
Unfortunately, this is the way you have to go into battle. Right. Nice yeah.
Well, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't wear armor anyway. And so
how
he.
How do you feel?
Bigger.
And he blinks several times, like his eyes just won't focus yet, like he hasn't gotten enough sleep or maybe too much.
You've never used them before.
Exactly.
I kind of look at Alec and I go, are the robes? It is a temple.
I'll go look.
Like, I imagine there's got to be something that we can
the sun. I go into the sun's. I assume it's the sun's room.
Got a toga or something? A towel? A robe?
Washcloth, anything.
Yes, you could. A tea towel, something.
The sun's room actually.
Priestly vestments, something.
It would be down here, actually, Alec, if you're looking for the sun's room. And there are, it looks like a set of clothes neatly folded on the bed, which have never, seems like they've been cleaned and not worn for God knows how long, that are on the bottom of the bed.
So I'll just grab whatever I can and just bring it. Probably like this is like a stack of it, just kind of put it out, not being near the altar, just drop it there and kind of back off. And
okay,
I will help him stand and pass the clothing off. You have been dead roughly 2 hours. We are in Barovia. Do you remember?
I should say that yes, I remember a great deal of it. Oh, that's very strange.
No, Agatha probably like straightens up, like was really not expecting that. Well, I'm glad to know you found your voice.
I found a voice.
Yes, I am sorry. Your vessel, your past one, it had to perish. But you should have your memories, your experiences, your history.
I do.
Then you will know that we are currently still fighting Strahd. So please, clothe yourself. I would like to kill him now.
How long did you say I've been dead?
2 hours, give or take.
And where is he?
Unknown at the moment. Last seen in direct combat roughly 2 hours ago with Mornikainen. I believe, and I have seen it, the heart of Strahd. It lies at the tallest tower. We can destroy it. I need to know how, whether I know in that little brain of yours, you can figure out how to destroy his heart.
I'll need to see it first.
Good. Buckle up. We need to get back as fast as possible.
And as he's getting dressed, I would note that the two of you, though you've not seen him in this body before, it seems like he's not quite as healthy as he should be. Like, he's just a little bit sickly.
Weak. Do you need food?
No.
Good berries. Such a druid thing to do.
No, I suspect that this is a part of a trade-off. You were not the only one who had to sacrifice.
Hopefully the next time we all sacrifice, it will be well worth it.
And he goes to the altar where his robe, his former robe,
yes,
is laying, and starts digging through it, and he gets his bracer, which has several little alchemical bottles on it that he holds various potions in, and as he he also gets his bandolier, which has several potions on it, and he puts them on himself. And I'm going to take these off because it is sweltering in here.
Yes, we need a new token for there Weller now, or whatever. The
yeah, it's, there's, okay.
There's Weller's green robes, and and all of this shit finally arrived after I ordered it 3 days before Weller died. It was fucking awesome. Anyway, so So yeah, so he gets, you know, as much of his stuff, like the my favorite part of his things were these glasses that I got, which
they're
are
very good.
Yeah, those are good.
They're Ponce de, they don't have any arms, when they just pin, like Morpheus's glasses. I love them, but they are prescription and they hurt. They're also from like 1942, I think.
Oh,
so shit. They're just, yeah, ow, a little painful to wear. So anyway, yeah, he gets dressed in the clothes that were provided, and if he happens to get near any reflective surface at any point and happens to see his reflection again, he just stops and stares for a moment. And it's like rubbing where it almost looks like somebody would be rubbing a scar or something, and he rubs several places. But yeah, gets dressed and...
I don't believe you should have come back for me. Not yet, not when he is still out there.
Yes, but now we have another body. Another warrior. And, like I said, it was worth it.
That remains to be seen. Let's go.
Agatha nods willingly and follows. She's very just much on board.
Just for the record, what do you get with this new body?
Well,
the thing we like to call life.
well, I mean,
hey, my lovers, we are gathered here today.
Corpus, supposedly for the spell, he gets all the racial abilities of a human,
which means was the plus Weller one. Was.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well,
so nothing really changes then.
I guess. No, yeah.
Except for the fact that he's taller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it clearly has a much more
normal voice.
Yeah, well, sure.
And his hair is brown. So.
Do your stats change at all, or is it the.
No. Well, yes. No.
Okay.
Yes, that was part of the trade.
Oh.
Mm. Yes, do you want to explain what mechanically?
Yeah, that's what I'm about.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, along with these
slightly... For the idiots in the... Well,
you guys weren't in on the discussion, just no. He and I were. So the... whereas he looks slightly more pallid than it seems like he should, just a little bit more sickly. Mm. There is a look of just absolute... drive and commitment in his eyes. So basically what's happened is his constitution has dropped by 2, but his wisdom has increased by 2.
Good.
And he has taken 1 level of cleric for his ninth level.
Wow.
Dual class. Interesting. Okay, this has got very exciting. All right, how are we getting back there, gents? What's the fastest way? Because it's going to take us a while on foot, isn't it?
So, okay, I know I stepped away for a second, so while we're all figuring this out, did you roll for that?
I rolled for it.
You rolled for it.
Okay. It says you can roll random or the GM can choose.
Okay.
It can be a GM choice in the end.
I rolled for it, but Barovia does have a way.
Barovia won on this.
No. The
Barovia
roll,
finds a way.
Without getting into details, I did roll a human. Yes, but the nature of the human, the nature of the human, is Barovian selected.
Yeah,
and to be fair, the spell is weighted to humans.
The humans, yeah. And I mean, technically, I did use, like when you create a fetch, right? Like I use the items of Barovia, yes, so it only did. Makes sense that. Mm.
Well, that's good, because Weller could have come back as a potted plant, so that's really...
Well, I did roll originally Venus Flytrap,
my skills
and
are
Barovian cactus. How do you feel? Quickly.
See, I was
Look,
really...
I could have made you my umbrella, because we all know I lost that.
Yes,
so.
You did lose it. I was, then it'd be like Mary Poppins with the...
Yes.
Your new... No, I was honestly hoping that it would be Tabaxi. Would be the role because the backup character that I've had for like over a year has been a Tabaxi Ranger. And wow. So I would have just dove right into that character.
And Trish in chat is playing a Tabaxi in the community D&D on Wednesdays. So, but
I still want a Dark Elf. I wanted you to come back as a Dark Elf.
Yeah, it did not roll that way, nor did we get to Dire Goose.
Especially with her leaning over the body to do all this stuff. If he had popped up as a dust elf, and it would have been like, hello. It would have been like, hello.
Yes!
Hello, my friend. She
turns into, I am a goddess.
And immediately she turns into old Agatha.
Oh my goodness. And immediately across the internet.
Kiss me, sweetheart. The plight of Agatha,
though. I could hear the shipping from here.
On my lips. Yes.
I could hear the shipping from here. All right. So as the party leaves the church, prepared to head back, I'm going to send us on our... I'm going to set... Alec, quickly, because I want to send us on our first break here, but...
Yeah, Alec is just not just staring and not even saying anything as he goes by.
That's actually a good question. Would Alec know, Weller, would you have talked, because you did tell Alec, of course, about the existence of this situation.
Tavis looked like.
No. Okay. Got it. Anyway, so I'm going to send these folks on a quick 5-minute break. If you like what you're seeing and hearing from this spectacularly good role-playing team, then please follow us and support the channel in any way you can. You are watching the epic conclusion of D&D with Infinity Beyond Curse of Strahd, the episode we're calling From Dusk Till Dawn. It is a campaign that I have been very proud to be able to DM for these folks for 2 years and 4 months to this point.
Wow.
And we are coming to a close tonight with this, although not with Infinity and Beyond, I want to emphasize, but with Curse of Strahd we are. And so if you're enjoying it, I hope you will support and spread the word, and let's continue to build the turnout and get all the amazing folks in here. And thank you all who've been here, because chat has been great tonight. But we're going to go on a break. Until then, everyone, please hold tight.